Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 82 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX. I'm your host. Your guest today is the world famous Mr. Johnny Zero, America's hero. Johnny Zero, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man. I'm glad to be alive.
To my left is the mighty, the powerful, the instrumentally gifted Ivor the Terrible from Superstar Galactica.
Thank you very much, sir.
Am I allowed to call you Ivor the Terrible, or is that like an issue for you?
I mean, I never liked it, but you're going to call me whatever you're going to call me when
no,
you call me.
So it's
no,
weird.
No, by all means.
Because in this other band that I'm in called Starscream, I called the bass player Sir and then his name for a while. He's like, I really don't like that you say that, but I guess it's just how it is. So we've let him recently return back to his original moniker of Uncle Skip. Now, no, my personal beef is that sounds creepy as fuck. Like, I'm like, hi, I'm Uncle Skip. Woo. Like, it feels molestery.
But I think Sir Skip is not molestery. Now, I'm not saying that Skip is a molester in any capacity because he's 6'5" and could kill me.
Even though he's not a molester. He's good. He's a good guy. But that whole, like, Uncle Skip thing freaks me out a little. So I say, I don't like the Uncle Skip thing. I say Sir Skip, and he doesn't like that. He likes the Uncle Skip thing. So he's returned to the moniker of Uncle Skip. So if you don't like Ivor the Terrible, which, by the way, I fucking love, what would you go with?
Of course
you
love it.
Would you be like Dude Love? Like, what would you call yourself?
Cactus. You're not allowed to call yourself and nickname yourself. So obviously I'm Beat. But.
So I'm Ivor the Beat? Nicole, that was fucking...
You're funny. Yeah.
That was a little funny there.
All right.
Did you ever watch The Office?
I believe I may have.
All right, you obviously aren't as well-versed as I am, because I didn't have a life there for a while. But there's a guy on The Office, his name's Dwight, and he's a beet farmer. So I can call you Dwight, but that's a little weird, too.
Well, I know I'm on the spotlight here, and I just want to revert the whole topic around. Whatever you guys are going to call me is what you're going to call me. I'm going to enjoy it.
Can be Ivor the Conqueror, maybe?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean.
Like one of those frizzes.
And I live at Pussy Palace.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's great.
That's so crass. Dude. You know, you're going to get Me Too'd. You're going to get timed out in 2021 with an attitude like, PussyPalace.com. I bet you there is a PussyPalace.com.
Dude, just, there is.
They are not a sponsor. Go ahead, Johnny.
Dude, he should cut a promo with the belts with his new duds. You know what I'm saying? His new threads and stuff. And I'd say that.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. This is my podcast, and I do not want the conversation to go anywhere near that. But sure, Johnny, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, like, the Frank Frazetta, you said Ivor the Conqueror, right? Remember the Frank Frazetta art from the 70s? And the old, anyway, I'm a big Frank Frazetta fan.
I don't even know what you're saying right now.
It's art. Anyway, sorry.
Joe, I think it's cool, and I'm getting what you're saying. Come see Ivor the Conqueror at PussyPalace.com.
Maybe it's .net.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe it's .net.
And you got a title belt? Yeah. Like, maybe
yeah.
two
right,
title
wait,
belts?
Wait, I'm loving it, but we can't talk over each other. We have to be a little careful. Okay. So when you interrupt when he's talking and vice versa,
it just
doesn't work so well for the flow.
I was just having fun, so.
No, I know.
Title belt over my shoulder, right? And hair like P-Funk.
Yes, absolutely. Like the fucking battleship is coming down. What do you call it? Exactly. I love that shit. I got their frickin' box set.
So, I'm really enthusiastic about some of the topic of this podcast. And Vex was going to bring us in on what the theme was in the beginning of this and why.
Well, we played The Odd Couple at the beginning because down the road, Johnny Zero and myself may cohabitate. And I guess I'm the, what were the two characters? Oscar and Felix?
Oscar and Felix.
So I guess I'm Felix. I'm like, clean up your socks. Yeah. Oh my God. What? Are you? I'm that guy. And Johnny's ears like, boozy, boozy, bop. I'm smoking this chick, sucking my dick. Hold on. I'm like, but there's children, Johnny Zero. It's kind of like, what's that? Two and a half men? That would be my life. Like, I'd be John Cryer. You're scratching.
Yeah.
I would be John Cryer and it would be fucked up. And yeah, I don't like, but I like the theme song. It was cool. I don't know.
Oh, it's brilliant. Some of those old TV show themes are some of the most brilliant written compositions ever, in my opinion. They don't get.
I guess that the theme songs to some of these shows, these sitcoms, it is good music. If you go back to the 70s, the intros to these programs were long. Like, I could turn a sitcom on in 1978, and there was 4 minutes or 3 minutes, like, welcome back, Mr. Carter. Remember that shit? Welcome back, welcome back. And you see the fucking train, and there's a whole fucking intro. When they did these shows in the 70s, they had their, like, 24 minutes they have a program on. 4 minutes of it was the fucking intro. Do you guys remember that?
Absolutely. And they show them on the antenna and the MeTV.
They do. They do.
Super Sci-Fi Saturday Night.
I kind of love that stuff.
Yeah, I love the Buck Rogers theme song.
They're remaking Buck Rogers.
I heard that. I'm worried about it.
Why are you worried?
I just think you're going to screw it up because that first one was great. It might be the most underrated sci-fi TV show of all time.
I don't know. It was a big hit back then.
I know.
So when you say underrated, I don't know if I agree. I mean, it might be forgotten because it was
35
years ago.
And the other thing about it is it's unique in the fact that it started as a movie and they moved it to a TV show.
Was it a TV movie?
No, it was an actual movie.
Like a movie?
Movie, movie.
Like so Wilma Deering was going to be in a movie.
Yes, and there's even that same theme song. I'm not kidding you.
I'm not saying you.
That same theme song. There's words with there's a version of it with words in it where you see Erin Gray and all her.
You know where she wound up after that? She wound up on fucking Silver Spoons.
Yes, I know.
Ivor, when you were a kid, I'm going to say like 10, maybe earlier. And you came home after school. I know that I would watch certain shows on like Channel 17 and Channel 29, which they were called UHF stations. Is that correct, Johnny Zero?
I think so.
What were the sitcoms of yesteryear that you found yourself watching? I'll give you an example. Fucking Scooby-Doo was on every goddamn day. And I did not like Scooby-Doo. I didn't dislike Scooby-Doo, but it was just the same repetition. It was JoJo from the fun park. I would have got away with it too. Not for those pesky meddling kids. Every day. So I was like, I don't know. And I didn't know they were high. No one explained it to me. I didn't know what Scooby Tacks were a drug thing. I didn't get it.
Oh, that first season especially. That first season, dude, it's totally psychedelics. It's totally.
So what did you watch, Ivor?
What do you think?
They're
always munchies.
There was He-Man.
Yes,
but He-Man's not a classic sitcom. He-Man came on at like 3 o'clock. The Transformers and G.I. Joe and all that shit.
And Voltron.
See, yes, I was not a Voltron guy.
I was too. I was. There's two different Voltrons too. In Baltimore, they got the Voltron 1 with all the. They have a C team and land team and air team, and they become Voltron.
What was the one with the lions?
That's Voltron
2.
3.
3?
Yes. But that's the more famous one because of the lions.
How many Voltrons could there possibly be?
There's three. The second one, Voltron 2, is three guys. It's like red, blue, and black or
yellow.
Something like that. Anyway, they have six arms, and they never made that into a TV show. It was kind of stupid. But they had a team-up episode where Voltron 1 team and Voltron 3 team up. Yes, I looked it up. And
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just taken aback at your knowledge of the Voltron situation.
And the one that I like best is Transor Z. Do you remember Transor Z?
I know the name.
Transor Z.
I was a Star Blazers guy.
Yes, I'm a Star. I'm the Star Blazers guy.
Star Blazer.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about that forever.
Hey, right.
That
you haven't thought shit. About it in 40 years.
That was
right?
Oh my god,
shit,
this
dude.
Is great. I've been nicknamed
Star Blaze.
Wildstar by friends before, randomly, like that. Not when I asked for it. I was like, you know, you don't get like, you know, like some people call you a shithead. They call me Wildstar. I love that show, man. Only 363 days left to save the Earth. Remember that shit?
Mm-hmm.
Every episode. Three seasons I used to have.
I remember thinking at like the tender age of 5 when this was on television, this is heavy subject matter for a 5-year-old in a commercial, not a commercial, in a cartoon. I'm like, this is deep. I would like to know the backstory. And I never knew the backstory because it's all like Japanese animation and stuff.
Yeah.
But Johnny Zero knows the backstory. Now, yeah. I guess that World War II really affected Japan way more than us because they were bombed into oblivion twice, right? So they were just referencing battleships from the World War II era. The Andromeda, I just remember that being one of the ships.
No, it's the Yamato.
No, the Andromeda was one of them.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe you. I thought you were Star Blazer guy.
I am a Star Blazer guy.
So you don't remember the Andromeda?
Well, see, in America.
America. Yup.
They changed the Yamato into the Argo.
Which makes sense.
So you didn't know that as a kid. You didn't know it was like some kind of Japan thing or whatever. And they resurrected it and put it in outer space, and all the it still goes into this like, you know, one world government kind of thing. So everybody has to go underground because the Gamelons are shooting radioactive nuclear stuff to us, and it's poisoning our life forms and our water and, you know, all this other thing. So they go underground. And they get the Star Force. We get Derek Wildstar and his brother Alex Wildstar, was with Captain Avatar on the first mission out in space against the Gamelons.
But you don't remember what the Andromeda is, for real. I mean, John, I'm impressed right now, for real. Like, what, that backstory? Thank you for that. Okay. But the Andromeda was like this other ship that was the same thing, a battleship, and it was some other captain, and he came in and rescued them. What was the main ship called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Well, I haven't seen it. I can't find my discs of it. I had to look all this stuff up. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm sorry. It's all right.
But did you like Battlestar Galactica? Because you're in a van called Superstar Galactica.
Yeah, I mean, I love that from the first moment you said that. I'm like, when you said that to me at first, I'm like, because my humor is slightly different than yours. I'm like way far out there left, and everything's literal, and I'm in a, you know, like Saturday Night Live, and John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, so it's boop, 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 that's my humor. And then I'm like, oh, my God, all the quirky tongue-in-cheek things I could ever hope for. And he just said that my new band's going to be called Superstar Galactica. I was like, yes!
It's pretty tongue-in-cheek. I dig it, right? Like, pretty good. Awesome. And I ran that name past the bass player in Starscream. He's like, that is the worst name I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, and I laughed inside. I was like, well, he's not a fan. But he didn't like the band name. We moved on, and now we have a band called Superstar Galactica.
I love
boosty
it.
Boosty bop. Awesome. You referenced the comedy. Who's the dead guy from Saturday Night Live? What's his name? John Belushi.
Yes.
Like four times today. Let's delve into this. Let's do a deep dive together, Mr. That's Evil.
Ace Frehley's buddy.
So Ace Frehley's buddy was John Belushi.
Yes, sir.
I know a cool fucking John Belushi story with the guitar player from the Eagles. What's his fucking name? Joe Walsh. Mm-hmm. Joe Walsh, Joe Walsh and John Belushi are out power drinking, and they want to go to this really expensive restaurant, have dinner, and they're wealthy men, where they can do this, right? So they walk up, the maitre d' is like, listen, you're wearing jeans, I can't let you in this beautiful establishment wearing these jeans. And he's like, no problem. And John Belushi's like, I got an idea. And you know, Joe Walsh was lit, he's like, okay. And they went to the corner store and he got fucking two cans of black spray paint. And he just painted Joe Walsh's jeans black. He's like, you do mine. And then he painted John Belushi's jeans black. And they walked in and they're like, hey. Oh. And they sat down. Now, John, it was these fucking chairs. Like, they look like 1500s from Paris, France. The huge fucking frilly chairs. They're really soft. And you sit down with these fucking sweat fucking black pants, right? And you sit down and they
stoned
had
in Paris.
Had the whole meal. Paid for the bill, stood up, destroyed the fucking chairs, ran out.
Oh, man.
I feel like John Belushi was friends with anybody who got high, and Ace Frehley got high. So that's why I feel like perhaps they had a friendship together.
I know that Ace felt sad because he didn't call him. Ace would go through these periods where he would be partying real hard, and then he would stop, you know, like, do not disturb on the hotel room, you know, rip the phones out of the wall and all that. And they found out later on that John Belushi had called him because John Belushi was alone when
he was not. Jack Nicholson was there. What's his name? The guy who hung himself. Robin Williams had been there earlier in the night, and some chick shot him up, and he was not alone. Some chick
killed
him.
No, I'm not talking about the people that he ran into on his bender. I'm talking about, like, alone, like, I don't know how to explain
it. No, you have to explain it because I want to understand.
Well, he didn't have, like, his girl wasn't with him.
Yeah, she was on the East Coast. He was on the West Coast. That is true.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't have his girlfriend with him, his love or whatever. And it's just a horrible, horrible tragedy.
Oh, my God. You made it so dark. It was this lovely little story about the comedy of John Belushi.
The man is so brilliant. Like, it's hard not to, you know, what a talent we lost.
He's dead 40 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about Chris? What do you think of Chris?
Chris what? You didn't say anything.
Tommy Boy. Shit.
Talking about Chris Cornell.
Tommy Boy's not Chris Cornell.
No, I flubbed.
The fat guy from fucking Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, they're all.
His name's not Chris, though.
These are all children of Lou Costello.
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley. Yeah. Gosh, how did I?
So anybody who's fat who's a comedian is a child of Lou Costello? That's not fair. That's, look at you.
I don't
think you're a weight supremacist.
No, not at all. I think they would love that compliment. You know, I mean,
John Belushi. Adam Costello, you know. John Belushi sets this bar for like pudgy comedian, and Farley wanted to be Belushi. Like, there's not even a fucking maybe.
Absolutely.
He didn't hide it. He hid his drugs in this exact same place where John Belushi had hidden his drugs 20 years before, not even quite 20, 15 years before when he was on Saturday Night Live. So Chris Farley was emulating him. But continue, Ivor. What do you got?
Well, I think the moral is why was I bringing that comedian up, and why is it? Because that's kind of like where my humor and I try to bring my reality into, like the way out there humor and the way out there fun.
You think that's
way out
there?
I don't take everything real serious either, but I really do deep inside. So it's kind of like my facade of covering that up.
That's interesting. I don't think that in 2021, like, Belushi's way out there anymore, though. For real. Like, it's not really cutting edge. Or, like, even Eddie Murphy, it was kind of way out there, and that was 33 years ago. You know what I mean? Or 34 years ago since he did stand-up. Did you guys see the new Coming to America film? Did either one of you see it?
Not yet. I want to.
You might not. Like, remember how all the good stuff you remember about the original? In this film, Eddie Murphy's in his 50s, and it's like, he's not the guy anymore. He's just, like, the dad figure, and there's some actor we've never heard of, never seen before, who's carrying the film, and he's not bad, but he's not Eddie Murphy. I don't know.
Well, who's the new guy? Is it like Chris Rock or something?
That's the thing, bro. He's a new guy. I don't even know who he is. I've never seen him before in my life.
I'll take it under advisement.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Ivor said you wanted to get a memory. No, what was it?
Oh, a Fire Stick, because I don't have a smart TV.
So they jailbreak them, and then you can get anything you want on them. Did you know that?
Yeah, I need something like that.
But you don't have a smart TV?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, the floor is yours, Mr. Ivor.
So, like, if I was to do that same comedy thing that I'm trying to explain, but sure. It's hard to explain... You know, you kind of have to just do it. If I did it with music, it would sort of be like making something totally serious and solid and building it up into this big rock wall. And then, like, having it being silly and dumb all at the same time.
Spinal Tap. That's happened.
Great movie.
Yeah.
A Mighty Wind, same people. That happened
again. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing. It's just my style, you know.
I do like Spinal Tap.
Yeah, me too.
It's like... All right. I'm not a Rob Reiner fan in 2021. That guy's a little fucking cray-cray for my taste. But he is the director of the original Spinal Tap. And, like, what I loved about it is that you follow this fictitious band that doesn't exist, and they start in the early 60s. And they're like a fucking Rolling Stones Beatles knockoff, and they're, like, doing this whole thing. Then they go through the whole psychedelic thing, and they change their name to Spinal Tap, man. Yeah. They were the Tensmen or some shit.
And what was their music from the Elder album?
Did they have one of them?
Yeah. It's like the something about the...
I know Smell the Glove was the one they were touring on.
They're in the coffins when they come out on the stage and the guy gets stuck in it.
It wasn't a coffin, bro. It's like pod. A big plastic clear pod.
Hello, Mike. You know, right?
You know, speaking of those accents... I noticed that my singer has an Australian accent on his MapQuest Google.
On the phone. Yeah, on the GPS. Phone, yeah.
And I have a British girl, and I love that. Like,
why do you like that?
I just love it. You know?
Awesome.
I'm driving down the road, you know?
No, I don't.
Turn a left here.
I did mine to be like cheeky. God, yes. And then I don't know how to take it off. And it says Boulevard. And then every time I'm in the truck with my staff, who has heard the joke 600, I'm like, Boulevard! And they just ignore me and look at their phones, and I'm like, that's funny. You don't even know. Fucking hysterical.
Is the voices, are they sexy? Sexy girl?
He likes his.
I like her. Yeah. I love her.
Mine sounds a little dumb sometimes.
I used to know a girl that I thought, I used to tell her, she said it. Remember when he said, the line you have called is no longer...
Yeah. Disconnected.
And she sounded like her, and I used to like.
You used to like what?
I used to like, you know.
You're like
funny. Like,
tell me my lines disconnected.
It, but I made it like into a hot thing. Like, I always wondered what that chick looked like. You know what I mean? It's still on the thing. Like, I always wondered what that chick.
I gotta tell you, like, the ones with the best voices, don't look good in person. Like, if you ever watch like a movie, not a movie, like a documentary about the old phone sex lines back in the day.
Right, right.
They were fucking land mammals. Like, they weren't like sexy. Right, right. They're like, I'm licking your ass. When the thing is, like, it should sound like, I'm licking your ass. Because, you know, your tongue would be full of asshole. Like, yeah. I'm just saying.
But it's the imagination of what you imagined them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was wondering, like, the call you have, you know, called is not an order or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, and then, like, I'm like, is she hot? I always thought, like, it was, like, some uptight, like a librarian, you know? Like, she's really, like, got her hair pinned back. And she's got her glasses on. But when she comes home, she unrolls it hair.
I am going to spin this.
It starts, you know.
Into a dark, dark podcast. are you guys prepared to go with me?
I love girls.
Okay.
Okay. I remember seeing a movie in the mid-90s. I'm going to say, like, 96, 97. Called Deconstructing Harry. Made by Woody, what's his name?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen, thank you. And I connected with the sickness of this movie on many levels. And then I just watched a documentary like 2 weeks ago on HBO about his full-grown, like, 35-year-old daughter. And she's like, yeah, he molested me when I was seven. Like, for real. Wow. And I don't know if you guys remember this.
Wow.
I got his book. I haven't gotten through it. But
he discusses it. And he just says, I didn't do anything. And she's like, nope, he did it. I was there. And I'm like looking at her. I'm like, no, I think he really did this shit. Like, and then he went on 60 Minutes at the time. And he was like, look, I'm in my 50s. If I was a molester, why would I stop today? Why didn't I molest before? And I remember thinking, yeah, that makes sense if you're in your 50s. No, I don't know why I didn't start before. But he fucking molested her, goddammit. Like, that's some fucked up shit, man. And I love some of his films. Like, adore them. Deconstructing Harry is this completely fucked up movie. It's... He would even tell you the character is him thinly veiled. The movie is like the next movie he makes after he leaves his girlfriend of 12 years, moves in with her 18-year-old adopted daughter. He's fucking her. And then the 7-year-old comes out and says he molested me.
Wow.
Dark. Dark, right?
What are your thoughts on Roman Polanski?
I got to be honest. I heard his justification, his interview, and he was like, this was a very advanced sexual girl. She was fucking 14. And then he put in her ass. Like, that's a fucking raper. He literally gave her... He's Bill Cosby land. He gave her some pills. She became all fucking loopy, and he fucked her. At 14, no one is making decisions that can, like, lead... Like, you can't make a 14... A 14-year-old can't make that decision. He was 35 or something? Like, a grown man. He's a piece of fucking shit. And I know that he survived World War II and his whole family died in the Nazis' camps. And I'm with you.
And don't forget the Manson murders, too.
I hear you. His wife got chopped up.
And she was pregnant. I could probably fuck your head up.
It doesn't make you molest kids.
I'm not saying it's okay.
No. I'm not saying... It's just that nothing justifies it. He's a piece of shit. And then he would tell you, well, I've been living in France for 30 years and I have fucking children of my own, blah, blah. Nah, you still fucking kind of raped a 14-year-old.
With the Watson murders.
And he was like, well, she was very sexually experienced and she was into it. And she's vehemently said the whole time, I'm not into it. So what is your thoughts on Roman Polanski?
I don't know. I haven't. I've been on, you know, I get on those kicks when I get into the Elvis Presley possible.
Well, down the rabbit hole on fucking YouTube.
Murder, suicide type thing. JFK, you know, I've been on other stuff. I haven't gotten that far into it. That's my next step in my research. So until I get a better understanding, I don't think I should make any statements on it because I don't really know.
Mr. Ivor, any thoughts on the molester?
I don't want to talk too much about that. Sort of like hits home with a couple things with
Understood.
Me. But on another level, I mean, what makes it any different nowadays? I mean, our president... He's into that stuff, too. I mean, come on. That's where I'll go with it. Right down to our president and everything that was brought up and torched him and during the election and that everybody forgot and everything. I remember.
Wow.
So, I mean, you got Chester Molester as your president. So, why should somebody else be nailed to the cross if the other guy ain't?
Eve were the conqueror.
I have a retort.
That's cool.
I don't like politics on my show. I think it's interesting you spun it over to a presidential debate when we did ask you an honest question about someone.
It was just
this
about
is a
that.
Guy who did a thing in the 70s to a little girl in Hollywood, California. This did happen. That's no question. can you're not going to answer that? Because you spun it. I mean, you didn't answer directly. What are your thoughts on Roman Polanski? If you say, I don't have any thoughts, I respect that. But you kind of did
it. I can go and revert to no thoughts at this moment.
Well, that's a downer. Now, granted, I took it to a dark place. I am not blaming anyone, but that's a downer.
No. Well, the thing of it is I don't know the history about this situation that you're talking about. I didn't study this case.
You could say that.
So I don't know much about that. I mean, we could bring up other things that to that nature. You know what I mean?
Actually, I have something I can bring up. I have something I can bring up. Spinning off of what Johnny Zier had said previously, Bugliosi is the name of the prosecutor
yes.
for the Manson murders.
Yep.
And there's a new book that came out a little over a year and a half ago. And in that book, a gentleman researched the shit for 20 years. And he said Bugliosi was full of shit. It wasn't helter skelter.
No.
Nothing went down like that. I mean, shit had happened. Don't misunderstand me. But they presented a very tidy bullshit case to the jury just to convict.
Yeah, you have to understand that they're trying to convict a man, scumbag as he may have been or whatever. I'm not Jesus, God Almighty. You know what I mean? I can't judge. But to be prosecuted for murder when he wasn't present at the scene.
No, and you're right. But the RICO thing in America exists.
I understand that
RICO's real.
But this guy Bugliosi made a lot of money off of the helter skelter.
Totally agree with that sentence. Go ahead, yeah. Ivor, what do you got to say?
Yeah, I want to fire out at this.
Yes, sir.
You're talking about people that build a case that make a living on making people fry,
sure.
And that's what they have to do. And if they don't do it, they don't get up to their next level or this
totally
or that.
Totally accurate.
I mean, accurate. That's what the legal system has been, so that way they can sit on the chair someday with the hammer. That's the prosecutor's
or,
life.
I mean, yes, Giuliani.
Sir. Good point.
Mayor of New York, governorship was in the discussion at one point.
Many
like
different avenues.
The current sitting president was a prosecutor at one point in his career in Florida, actually, if you remember, for all that the cocaine cowboy drug thing.
Yeah.
He was a part of that. So you're completely right in that assessment. So do you feel that the system is flawed in that regard?
I mean, our system is totally flawed. The whole legal system and everything. I'm not saying that that guy didn't deserve a sentence. I'm just saying that you know, it's not about. It's never been about in America or anywhere else. It's been about pre-accusated judgments and whatever people wanted to do for their agenda, and somebody fries on the seat for it, you know. And that's the way this country's always been, you know. Even when it was fairism, that was even more. I mean, you know, we don't like this punk has been hanging around our wild west town. I mean, we're going to fry him. You know what I mean? We're gonna, yeah.
What would you propose, sir?
What I propose? I mean, everything is up to perception.
All right, that doesn't make any sense.
All things are up to perception.
You lost me. Like, for one second, I was like, all right, Ivor's going to say, I have a three-point
plan.
If I'm
going to make you perceive one thing, I'm going to try my damnedest to do it. And that's sort of what that whole legal system is, along with the politics. And it's all politic-driven in one way, shape.
So I'm going to cut you off. I apologize.
Go ahead.
Do you know who Lou Wasserman was?
No.
Do you know who Lou Wasserman was?
I want to say yes, but it's...
All right, when I say this, you're going to remember. For about 30, 40 years, Lou Wasserman was the most powerful agency in all of Hollywood. But this is before any of our times, okay? He came up in the 30s and the 40s working with the mob, booking bands and stuff. And then he moved into management and, like, representation. The Lou Wasserman, MCA Records, that was Lou Wasserman.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he became that eventually.
Yes.
But there was a point in time, I'll give you an example. Ronald Reagan was one of his clients. You know, when they're always like, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the words, but Lou Wasserman, there's a reason for this. So Lou Wasserman was a very powerful agent for a very long time in Hollywood. And he said this sentence, perception is reality, okay? Unfortunately for Mr. Wasserman and for the Yellow Book USA company that I used to work for, who said this shit to me, like, perception is reality. Reality is reality. If you perceive that I'm not going to punch you in the face right now, it doesn't mean I'm not going to punch you in your face. Not you, Ivor, but the person I'm speaking to. I hate that perceptions reality bullshit. It's true in the court of public opinion, especially back then when the papers were very powerful. Like now the internet's like an overwhelming thing, but there was a point in time where the city papers, the national papers were very like a huge force, and they could write some shit that's not true. Like that whole communism thing that happened in fucking Hollywood post World War II, that was cray cray. Like, here's the thing. I don't like communism, actually. I vehemently despise communism personally, and I have family from back there, and I hate it. But in America, you can fucking say you want to be a communist, and that's okay, because in this country, that's not against the rules. You're fucking wrong, by the way, but you can say, I'm a communist. I would never. I despise it, but I have to respect it.
That's where they got, that's how they ousted Bela Lugosi from.
So this thing in the 50s, where they started attacking all these people, like...
He wasn't a communist.
He wasn't a communist. All right, Bela Lugosi wasn't a communist. You know what said he was, John? My point is that... I don't even know what my point is. Ivor, what were you going to say about perception and reality?
I was just saying, as everything is up to perception, because everybody can view something different. So if people are swaying your perception, and that's what they're doing in a prosecution or a defense case.
Yeah,
they're right. Swaying perception.
And the guy...
Not just evidence, because evidence could all lead the wrong. And there's been people with evidence... wasn't there, and they've been convicted.
Yeah.
What, all right. I'm sorry to do this to you. Don't, if you don't want to answer, neither one of you don't fucking answer. But I think O.J. Simpson chopped those people up. Like, I really, really do. The fucking blood is just in his car. And the prosecution fucked up so bad, and they had this really slick attorney, actually five slick attorneys, and he walked. I just think that guy fucking murdered two people. And I don't even think it's his fault. You know that shit that happens to your brain when you play football for too long? Especially back then? What's it called?
CTE.
That's real. So I think OJ just snapped, chopped up some people, and went, oh, man, I done chopped up some people. He just ran home like, oh, fuck, I'm OJ. Got his truck.
But at the same time, but if he didn't do it, right?
Yes.
Who did?
And there's my beef. No one else ever got murdered, ever, in Brentwood, ever. Right. There was never another double murder in the history of Brentwood.
Well, the only
just his wife's house.
My brother, Stevie Zero, he said that he thought it could be his son from the first marriage.
I had heard that shit about the knives,
and,
right?
Yeah, and possibly the, or maybe Al, the guy that drove the Bronco, who knows? I don't know. I mean, God rest their souls. I don't want anybody dead or anything like that. But I'm just saying, if the man is going to be acquitted, then you have to find out who killed him.
John, I'm not a quitter.
You know what I mean?
No, I didn't get my joke. But, zoom. Okay.
But you have to find out who did the shit. What do you think?
Yeah, Ivor, what do you think?
Yeah.
Look, this is what happened.
Oh,
that chick was banging a bunch of people behind OJ's back.
Can I cut you off?
I agree.
Can I cut you off? No, oh, this is important. They were legally separated and living in different homes. That's not behind your back. Yeah, she was fucking everybody. But he was fucking everybody. I got a Tawny Kitaen story about him, but keep going.
So Marcus Allen, for crap.
Facts.
Same college, USC. I mean,
go ahead. No, oh, go ahead, Ivor.
I love Marcus Allen. I'm a big fan.
Ivor, please go ahead. Johnny Zero and I will stop cutting you off together.
So he's whacked out on cocaine and all kinds of other stuff.
Boozy bop.
All kinds of insight, a psychotic break, full flight from reality. Probably think that they're trying to set him up too and all this other stuff. So he goes over and he just does what any old man would do when he's tweaked out of his gourd and he's been wronged too much by the same chick. He goes over and chops her up and her man. Why wouldn't he?
I got to tell you something. When my third wife cheated on me, and I am a cheater, by the way, and I did not cheat on that woman. I definitely remember thinking, oh, I could kill her. and I remember, I was like, I could put her through that wall right now, right? Now, I didn't kill her. She's still alive. I didn't put her through a wall. We're actually friends. We are. We're totally friends. As of March the 26th, 2021, on episode number 82 of the Vex on Vex podcast, we're still friends. OJ's kind of like a thought. I was like, nah. I'm not going to kill her. I'm not going to jail for the rest of my life over some crazy poo-poo bitch. Like, I think I'll be all right. Like, I don't have CTE, though, either. And I wasn't on the cocaine. Go ahead. I'm not on the cocaine. I don't kill this woman. But I remember thinking about OJ in my life. I was like, I don't have $10 million for a defense. You know what I'm saying? I had a couple. I'm a thousandaire. You know what I'm saying? He's a millionaire. So I didn't hurt anybody. I have yet to hunt this man down, although I feel like he's been hiding from me a little bit for the past few years. I might find him. I might not. And then I was going to do something naughty, and that didn't work out anyway. So my point is, Johnny Zero, have you ever felt the need to just fucking kill a bitch?
No. No, I stay. When they get me feeling like anything like that, I just walk away.
Yeah, right? And that's the thing. You get in your car. You go outside.
Yeah.
I remember I had never seen Schindler's List. This woman and I were getting divorced. We were not together. She was staying in a different wing in my home,
yeah,
and would have her baby's father come to my house on Sundays and sit and watch my television.
What's the closest you ever
can came? I talk and tell my story a little bit?
Sure, sure.
Okay. I went to see Schindler's List, which is a three-hour movie that I had no interest in seeing, just to not be there and make drama. What's your question, Johnny Zero?
What's the closest you guys ever came to actually hitting a chick? Or if you have hit a chick?
No, that one. Oh. That one for me, but go ahead.
Okay. So I'm with my girlfriend that died. Not the fiance that died. The girlfriend died from a heroin overdose. She was all whacked out. I wasn't doing too good myself, but I'm driving. And I'm picking her up from a motel where I know she was just selling herself to get back at me.
Jesus.
And I was trying to be forgiving and just get her a ride home and separate myself from her from there and move. But she I said something, and then she's saying that I'm driving crooked, right? And I looked over and said I wasn't. And then she starts punching on me like a guy.
Wait,
while I'm driving.
This is
the then she pulls a blade out and she starts going at me with a knife.
While you're driving.
While I'm driving.
This is in the movie.
So I had to pull over and I put her in a headlock so hard. And then I had to back off. I was going to start pounding on her. It was very bad. And it was the only time I ever touched a woman that way. But I was more scared of getting hit with that blade than, yeah.
Right, that's understandable.
That was a rough deal.
Understandable.
And
that's in the movie Blow.
She can't ever make up for that with me because she's dead now, and I can't ever make up for any of my wrongs. So I'm really angry with her.
God rest your soul. You'll be able to do it, man. You'll be able to see her again. Yeah.
I'm angry with her.
Oh, sure. Let it go. Oh, yeah, man, I wasn't my first wife.
I'm angry, not because of that stuff, because she had to go and kill herself on that stuff, and now she's not around here anymore for
yes,
me.
Sir.
But anyway, we took that in a dark thing, and I got that out on the air. Wow.
Yes, sir.
I needed to.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to go Facebook Live on episode number 82 of the Vex on Vex podcast. No, they just look at me, Johnny. Relax. They don't see you. I am with Johnny Zero. I'm with the mighty, powerful Ivor the Conqueror. And we are discussing, of all things, the darkness of what relationships can turn into. I've been divorced. Ivor's buried some people. Johnny Zero's crawled through hell. Gentlemen, we have had a time. Imagine just being a homosexual. How much easier could it possibly be?
Oh, like, my God.
They're not dealing with the dramatic.
Where are you going with this? What was he talking about?
Hey, and if he ever cheats on you, you can punch him in the face.
I know, right?
Do they fight? It's funny. I have a close friend who's a gay guy who I went to high school with who watches these videos. If you see the video, do you guys fight each other? Like, you're like, rah! I'm gonna fuck you up, because I think men can, like, you know, pound it out, as they say. Or is it like I don't know.
What's the closest you ever came to hitting a girl before?
Well, we just discussed it previously.
No, he did.
Oh no, I discussed it in great detail.
All right, cool.
Yeah. Plus, I don't want to relive it. What's the closest you ever came to hitting a girl? There you go, Johnny Zero.
I went. There's Sweetest Jazz Club, because you're a jazz guitar player. Which we need to pump that show.
You need to fucking tell your story.
April
2nd, I'm a little freaked out.
My buddy's playing. Anyway,
by the time this airs, it won't matter. I love you, but can you get to the point?
Okay.
If you don't want to tell the story,
tell the story.
Well,
I went to this jazz club. It's called Bourbon Street Cafe.
Bourbon Street Cafe.
Yeah, it was a little hidden nook there by the Exit Music, and the guys in the band liked me, you know, and I didn't know them jazz chords because
they liked you.
They thought I was all right. They just, I wasn't nobody.
Were they going to touch your testicles is what I'm asking.
Well, I just had to go around and learn from people. I had Chris Mao a few lessons, but that's it. I mean, like, I had to learn. Anyway.
Bro, I love you. What is the point of your story?
Okay, so I went there with my girlfriend at the time, and I would sit in, and I was making good money at the time. I put $200 on the bar.
Okay.
Got her good food.
Money on the bar.
Right, right. And I'm trying to learn these fancy jazz chords. Yeah. And she got tanked on like gin and tonics, and she wasn't a drinker. I mean, belligerently, like out of this world. She, and she was a hippie type chick. And like, anyway, so I came out of the car. I had to.
Wait, how are we in a car? So you're at the bar. There's $200 on the bar. She gets hammered. How are you in a car now?
Well, she drove to. This was like the one night that she came to my house.
That made no sense, right? Like, no, with me.
She came to my house, and we took her car, and it was only around the street. And
no, but if you're telling the story, we have to be linear. You had now left the club, and she's drunk.
Yes, we're leaving the car, okay. And I had to take her keys, confiscate her.
Understood.
Because I don't want her getting killed, and I don't want her killing anybody else.
Okay, no killing.
And we came back to the house, and she was punching me and scratching me and punching me in the back and everything. I picked her up over my shoulders, hoisted her up, and think I got to go to the front door. I got to use different keys, my keys, to unlock the front door. Walk her up the steps over my shoulder while she's scratching and punching, and then throw her into the bed, you know. And I put a blanket on her and gave her some water. And she was nice, sweet as pie in like an hour, but there was no way that I was letting her drive. That's about the closest I ever
came. I was with a woman who used to get blackout drunk occasionally, like not often, but we'd play a show and fuck it. She got so hammered once. We played Finnegan's Wake, and she punched this beautiful, ornate, classic cash register, and she just wraps this motherfucker and it rolls off the bar, and she's just sitting there, and she was fine. This bitch was fine. Beautiful eyes, right, beautiful hair, big titties. And the bartender comes up, he's like, what happened to the cash register? She's like, I don't know. And he knows that she knocked it off the bar. But she's like, I don't know. So this is how, later we go outside, and I was, of course, talking to a female. This woman ripped my shirt off of me, screaming at me, calling me like everything imaginable. The at the time, the Starscream female road manager grabs this woman and drives her to my house to get her out of the way. Yeah. I get a fucking Starscream merch shirt. I put that on. I got no shirt, right? I stand outside.
Yeah.
So then we load the gear. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I got to go home to this crazy chick, blah, blah. I went home. She's passed the fuck out. Fine. We wake up in the morning, and she's like, hey, good morning. I'm like, what? Good morning? What? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, do you fucking remember anything from last night? Like anything? And she's like, no, what happened? I'm like, we're fucking breaking up. Get the fuck out of my house. You know what I mean? She's like, what? And I told her, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I have no memory of that happening at all. I just didn't even know. It's sorry.
Yes?
I know about that.
The blackout thing?
No, not about that thing. But I heard the story in, like, another tense after that when I played there with one of my bands, and why they still had that cash register that broke.
Wait,
in the side of
they told you about Stars. Get the fuck out of here.
They said that somebody, they didn't tell me directly what it was, but they said they saved that one because somebody threw it or broke it.
You played the Wake too?
Yes.
Awesome. Me too.
Well, we're all local band guys. That's awesome. How that fucking works.
And so I didn't, now I know what that story is. So it's all tied in somewhere along my little history.
That woman who I lived with punched that fucking thing off there. Now, this woman, I'm actually still friends with her. I love her to death. She's pretty fucking cool. She's married to somebody else and all this shit, has her life. This fucking chick used to get blackout drunk and assault bathrooms. Like, just bathrooms. She'd go in the bathroom, lock the door. She'd rip the sink out. Like, you know those things that dry your hands? This machine, she'd rip that off the fucking wall, the mirror, fucking try to move the toilet, and just murder it. And then, like, put her makeup on, fix her hair, and just come back out and sit at the bar, like, and like, and this is before me too. A couple times, I'm like, get the fuck out! You wrecked my bathroom. She's like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? I'd never do that. Why would you say that?
What was she drinking?
But I don't know. But it was fucking powerful shit. Like, this chick would just, she would fucking black out and assault bathrooms in bars all across Philadelphia, like for years. Like, it was a thing, man. For real.
I've seen them happen. It's like, some people, you're just like, I don't understand why you would drink if you get like that. You know what I mean?
And that would, if they don't remember it, they're like, no, that was fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of women and these crazy things, too, this, in my first rock band that we were playing at around the area, it was called Callous Soul. And so we had befriended many go-go dancers, and they would come out to our shows to make it more entertaining for the guys. Awesome. It was our gimmick.
Now, on stage, so at the same time on stage,
Well, no, they never got up. Well, some
bro, one time. Just had chicks in the audience, hot
chicks. Yes, and they would be nuts by the end of the show. But the one I dated, just the date, you know, she was my, my link to being in on all that.
Right.
Like, and I knew weird shit was going on, and I really wasn't concerned, but I didn't know how deep it went. And none of the guys in either band, because I saw her through two bands, I didn't know it was this deep.
Oh my this God, chick. This fucking story. Holy shit. This fucking story. This and this chick, ties in, motherfucker.
This chick would go with dudes. And like, I'm the guitar player in the
while
band.
They are playing, I
yes,
might add.
We're up there jamming, and she's going back into the bathroom and pulling trains on all the guys in the bar.
Holy shit.
Isn't that sad? None of my band members wanted to tell me.
Now, here's where it gets really fucked up, kids.
I wish he... I hope if I ever have a girl like that again, he tells me.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course.
I was in... We're Starscream, right? 2005, we were everywhere. My first wife had passed away. We would just be out every night. So myself and a couple of the roadies and a few band members are at Whiskey Dick's, and we're just hanging out. And it was like Cinco de Mayo or some kind of day like that, where it was like they were partying all fucking day. And the roadie disappears. He goes back and says, "Oh, I just fucked some chick, man, in the bathroom running a fucking train, dude." It was Ivor's girlfriend, man. How fucked up? My, you know who the roadie is too. I'm not going to say your name, but you know what you did now. You know. And I was like, "You're going to get AIDS, motherfucker."
I wanted to get in on it. I would have did something crazy too. I would have went back and joined.
All right, I'm going to cut off the live. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 82 of the Vex on Vex podcast, Facebook Live edition. Thank you for watching and listening. And please check us out on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. Stay frosty. Motherfucker, what a fucking story.
I mean, it sucks, though. I would have joined. I would have made her feel really bad about herself afterwards, too. It would have been great.
Ivor, let me get this straight.
You're saying that
your girlfriend, while you were playing a show,
she probably all the shows, every show, she would run trains in the bathroom.
And then she went and fucked my brother's roadie. The same night before you guys even met?
No, we've never met at the time.
No, I think I did meet him before in them, and I think they congratulated me on my guitar playing, but that was a long time ago, and I have really long hair, and I could show you the pictures of what I used to look like then. So, I mean, I think because I didn't ever get another, the bar was really packed. It was Whiskey Dick's.
It was
Whiskey Dick's, and it was really, really packed, and it was usually packed for us, but not that packed.
Yes,
so I guess that was because of them. So he's probably heard me play before, and he just doesn't even remember. Don't you remember the yellow guitar, dude?
Well,
you're not listening. I didn't perform that night. We were just hanging out.
Yeah, but you probably heard me play then.
I'm sure I did.
Mysterious ways. I don't know. That's just weird.
But, yeah, I mean, I just wish I would have known so I could enjoy going back there, sneaking in on her, doing the same thing to her, and then really desecrating her afterwards.
Dude,
and she probably would have loved it.
Dude, I
she probably would have wanted to marry me after that.
Oh. I respect you, man, like a motherfucker.
I'm mad that nobody told me about it.
That's like Ace Frehley cool, man. Just like laid back like that. I wouldn't have handled that very well.
Well, I didn't know until
especially in 2005. You know what I mean?
I didn't know until
before we even get into police. Yeah.
Last August, I didn't know until last August that this even happened. When I got back together with Scarlet Mojo, they told me about it. I'm like, "Well, what the hell kind of friends are you? You didn't tell me about it then. You didn't have to feel bad for me. I would have made a spectacle of it." It's like that song, "Always Look on the Bright Side of Life." You know, if that was one of my stages, I would have came in there and been the actor.
Dude.
I mean, knowing me and maybe seeing it, I don't see me getting mad and causing some rumble or fight or argument. I probably would have went in there.
But did it
hurt? I probably would have... No, at that time, no, because I knew she did stuff. You know, it didn't matter. She's a sex addict. So anyway, you know, I probably would have went in there, did something vulgar with her, and moved on with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is the one that passed away too.
No. She introduced me to that one though.
Okay.
No, Ivor's just gotten around, dude. Like he's been rock star status for a long time, so he's a colorful past and
very good guitar player.
I don't know, man. I just remember looking at my fucking roadie, whose name I will not say, and I was like, you are going to get AIDS. You can't fuck a chick you don't know with six dudes you don't know in the Whiskey Dicks bathroom. Now, that guy has had a perpetual drug problem for, I don't know, 26 years at this point. Like, he has a problem. So
with her in the bathroom, like, she's taking one in both holes.
Yeah,
mouth.
Everything.
I believe it was just multiple. No, it was like a gangbang. I don't think it was like. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Me either. I
didn't
picture that.
I remember. I think maybe I went into piss, and it was all happening in the stall, and I didn't really comprehend what was going down. And then at the end of it, Trevor's like, "You want some?" I'm like, "No, I'm good. I don't need AIDS on my dick. I'll be fine."
Of course not.
Well, I'm not going to say anymore. I can't relinquish that information. Not that. Not what you said. But it's the gift that keeps on giving. That's what she had eventually.
But did you get it?
No.
Bro, for a woman to share that with a man, right, she has to be on a full breakout to send it to you. And when the woman's body is like that, it's in fantastic pain. So for a woman to have vaginal sex while she has a breakout of that venereal disease is crazy. Now, men, on the other hand, can have a full breakout, and men will fuck. It doesn't hurt. It's there, but, you know, that's how it works. So for a woman to pass it to a heterosexual man in a heterosexual fashion is pretty difficult to do.
You know what? She's a totally different person. So today, so I hope she never hears this.
Listen,
podcast.
I got to tell you, no one listens to this shit. Like we're not on this Tonight Show. This is the Vex on Vex podcast. No one cares. So, don't say your name and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, she's totally different today.
Is she, like saved and stuff?
No. But, I mean, she's in a marriage. She has kids. You know, I don't know if they do anything jiggy on the side to satisfy her, you know.
Sometimes they grow out of that.
No. I mean, well, usually, you know, I can understand that she's the real thing. You know, she had a sex addiction problem.
I remember definitely coordinating efforts in the 2000s to go to a sex additions counseling session to try and fuck those chicks.
Oh, the relapsers. Pick up the relapsers. You are an evil, evil man.
I saw Fight Club. No, I'm a liar. The guy who makes Fight Club wrote a movie called Choke. Did you ever see Choke, Johnny Zero? It's fucked up. It's a fucked up movie. And in the movie, he's a sex addict. And then he would go and he was fucking a chick in his class. And I was like, hey, there's like sex addiction places. I should go bang these chicks, man. Bang.
Wow.
I didn't.
That would bring them pain.
No, it would bring them pleasure. The Vex shaft is a young, powerful machine. No, it's not young anymore. Now it's an old, wrinkly machine. But it used to be young and powerful, you know? I don't know, man. Sex addiction.
Well, then they'll feel guilty about that. You know, and stuff like that.
I don't really understand it. I don't even know. And I remember running this past someone, and they were like, you can't just find out where these classes are. Like, a doctor has to refer you. They're like, are you a sex addict? I'm like, maybe. And they're like, no, I not really. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not fucking people I'm not attracted to. Like, that sex addict. No, for real. A real sex addict will just fuck.
Yeah.
And I have to be into the chick, or I don't want to have sex with her. For real. It just doesn't cross my mind. Like, somebody who's grotesque. I don't want to have sex with
her. I've known people, one in particular, like that.
I will say this, Johnny Zero. Fat girls really suck a mean dick.
We should get a secondary rock band. We'll call it Faffs.
I got a secondary
for fat ass fucks. And
I got
about fat girls.
I got a secondary name for you. John's not gonna like it. Are you ready? God's cock. If you're gonna be a cock, be God's cock. Cool. God's cock. I don't think he'd be offended. I personally think that God has a sense of humor. Now, yes. I mean, have you seen like a hippo? God's a little fucked up. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm fucking this shit, dude. What is it? The flamingo's knees are backwards. That's some funny shit. God's like, ha ha ha, fuck your knees. Like, that's funny. I think he fucks with it. John's already offended right now. He's going to, like, punch me in the face.
Yeah. No, just think about the faces he gives us when we're having sex. Think about that.
I don't want to see myself fucking. I don't want to know what I look like. Like, I like looking at the girl, but I don't know why she'd like looking at me. Like, what's wrong with you? But then you meet that girl who's like, oh, from behind. And I'm like, I get it. So you don't have to see my face. No problem at all. Boozy, boozy, bop. Mm. Actually, I don't know about you guys. When I first started having sex with females, all right, let me rephrase that. Anyone else who wasn't me, because you had the masturbation years and then the fuck years. So 1990, I started fucking. I was the first 10 years of my fuck life, I was silent because I learned to come in my parents' house. And you can't be like, ah! When you're coming in the basement. So it's like silent.
What do you mean, like, because you get busted?
Well, yeah, I never did. Knock on wood. Well, they're both dead, but knock on wood, I never got caught jerking it. And I should have. And I never got fucking outside random chicks, and I should have. I don't know how. Like, broad daylight shit. I never got caught.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've been walked in on.
Jerking?
Damn, my mom.
Oh, how old were you?
I think I was like 14.
Do you want to hear a fucking confessional Vex story, which is fucked up on the Vex on Vex podcast?
Okay.
Okay. I was like 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. Pubes were happening like in full fucking force, right? Like I was happening. And I noticed there were like pimples on my balls, you know? And I was confused by this. So I turned the big light on in my room and I'm like examining my nuts.
Like ingrown hairs or something?
It turns out probably, right?
Right.
But at 13, no one's explained any of this to you, at least not to me.
Right.
My mom walked in with like laundry, like, ah! And like ran away. And I was like, no, wait. I'm not doing what you think I'm doing. Right. I have a medical issue.
Right, right.
And so she had it explained to me, ingrown hairs and things that didn't make any sense to my fragile eggshell 13-year-old brain. You know what I mean? Now, that wasn't caught jerking.
Sure.
I was sincerely inspecting my nutsack.
Right, right, right.
Now it's razor burn. You cut holes in the fucking thing. When I take a woman's clothes off.
Cut holes in it.
You haven't fucked up. I have cut. Give me the fucking electric
charge. Oh, yeah, I've done that.
I have taken full-on motherfucking chunks out of my nuts. I got to tell you. My nuts are so resilient. Shit grows back. It looks fine. Like, you'd never know. Right. Like, it should be a scarred mess down there. Yeah, these years of shit.
I get freaked out about shit. That kind of shit freaks me out.
What do you mean it freaks you out?
Just the whole idea of having, like, some kind of STD or something like that with the ingrown hairs. I know what you're talking about. It freaked me out, too.
Yeah, but I didn't have sex at that. I was a kid. I didn't fuck till 14. Like, so at 13, I hadn't fucked. So.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I didn't use this. I couldn't have caught something yet. Yeah. But there's something on my nuts. Like,
sure.
And I just didn't understand ingrown hairs. I don't know why it never came up in my life before that. Yeah. It never made any sense to me.
Yeah.
And then you figure it out, you're like, oh, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's hot in the summer. Your jeans are wigging off your waist. And
bro, I sincerely think I was wearing jams, air quote, back in that time.
Jams. Right? Yeah. I remember jams. You remember gotcha?
No, what's gotcha?
It's like jams, more surf.
So surfwear?
Yeah, surfwear.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one thing I want to do. I would love to surf.
Bro, it is so fucking hard.
I believe it.
Like, you think, you're like, oh, this will be dope. I'm going to get on the ocean. And I did. And I got on the board. And you just paddle forever. And you're not paddling in a pool like you think you are. These are fucking waves. And there's waves because you can't surf unless there are waves.
Right.
So I had to go out at like 5 o'clock in the morning with this chick who was kind of fat. I don't even know why my girlfriend let me go. Like, I was trying to fuck her. I don't know why she'd think I wasn't trying to fuck her.
Did you ever catch a wave or anything?
The balance is impossible for me. Like, I couldn't even... I guess I caught a wave, like, on my stomach on the board.
Yeah.
But to go from, like, kneeling or stomach up to standing on the board, I fell 743 times.
I'm not known for my good balance either, but I still would... It's challenging, I think.
Can you skateboard?
A little bit.
I can't. What about you?
No, not really.
I can.
You can? So you might be able to, and you're pretty athletic, so you might be able to do it. But I went out there, bro, and this is a long time ago, and it was in the Atlantic. I didn't do this on the West Coast. I did this here, and it was the middle, like, February. Like, it was cold. We had wetsuits on. They were warm as a motherfucker, though, really. I wasn't cold in the water. I was just retarded. Like, I had no mechanical skill for it at all. Like, it was just amazing.
No, I can imagine. But I like the whole, like, chill lifestyle. I don't care if I had to paddle.
It wasn't chill, though. It was rough, and it was tumultuous, and, like, you're going through waves in the morning, and you're trying, like, it was rough, man.
Where did you do this at?
Atlantic City. Not Atlantic City, but the Atlantic Ocean, down by the Jersey Shore.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't know. I was more into, as far as the skateboarding thing, I was more into BMX-based bike.
BMX is where it's at.
Yeah.
I can do a bicycle all day.
Yeah.
I won Harrow
championships that, but when they got into like the freestyling,
that's
stuff,
cool though. It's the next generation.
It just wasn't my thing. You know what I mean? Like, even I had a buddy that got hurt. The gear went through his
almost. You got to talk into the microphone.
Almost cut his ding dong off because it stabbed him down here. And I didn't really like it because those guys were like the show offs, but they couldn't race the tracks. You know what I mean? But I'm not saying the really good ones. I'm saying all. That's just how I felt at the time because it was like BMX. Okay, I'm winning championships. I'm getting trophies. I'm busting my tail. They're not letting me in the pro level because I don't have the money for the gear.
Well, you were a kid, though. You don't worry about that, man. Just have the fun.
I was a competitor, man.
That's a good point.
You know, I was somebody that just wanted to win. Yeah. But anyway, did you race
Ivor?
Not on BMXs or anything like that.
Lumps Pond and no?
Nah.
Do they have that in PA?
I don't even know what you're saying right now.
Like the BMX tracks, do they have them at PA?
I mean, I'm sure they exist.
Yeah, okay.
No, I never did that. I had a really fast car once. It's about that.
Cool. Awesome. I love this guy.
What vehicle did you have?
Okay, great, man.
What's that?
What vehicle did you have?
I had a 84 Fox Body Mustang that I put 20 grand in at one time.
20 grand?
Yeah, it was like a 9-second car.
What year Mustang?
It was an 84, but I everything in it was totally different than in the end. I could go over it another time.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been episode...
With the 5.0 engine, right?
No, this had a 460. I changed all that.
Oh, okay. Cool. I got what... This is my third one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vex on Vex podcast is available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. This is VexX thanking our guests Johnny Zero and Ivor, telling you to stay frosty.